Heyo! What's up, fam? It's Z-Dog MD, Tom Heineber. Tom, how's your mom and dad doing, by the way?
It still sucks.
Yeah.
It's super early in the morning over here, as you can tell by my hair.
And mine, too.
Because I just rolled out of bed.
That's right.
You know what? That's one of the benefits of being bald. You can just roll right out of bed. You look totally normal.
Tom Heineber, there are so many benefits to being bald. First of all, you look beautiful all the time. Second of all, showers take a minute. Third of all, I do my own barbering.
When we were in the Bay, he was like, I'm cold up here, Tom Heineber.
It's true. Hold me, Tom.
My head is cold.
Hold me. I'm cold.
I need a beanie.
Anyway, so getting to the point of why we're up early trying to do a live. So a lot of people sent me another viral video that was filmed by a patient in an emergency department, this time in Los Gatos, California. Now, I actually know this system because El Camino Hospital System was a system that I used to be peripherally affiliated with. Hey, look at that. We're live right there. Isn't that cool? And
the internet.
We have another case, and we've had two of these in the past that I've commented on by live. The one was Peter Gallagly, emergency physician in Gainesville, who was seen on camera, patient filmed, yelling and screaming at a patient, telling them to get out of their ER. Turns out there was a lot of backstory that wasn't in that one contextual clip that I felt really changed the conversation around that. The second one was an ER doc who was falling asleep, and it appeared they were saying he was on drugs and all this. Turns out he was a hardworking locums doc who was probably just falling asleep trying to deal with a difficult patient.
Now, the Peter Gallagly thing, that was racism. They accused him of racism in that one, in addition to saying, you know, get the F out of my ER. And all
right. Now, those patients were, in fact, I think the mother was white.
Oh, no, that was right. She just said, I'm going to get my big black dad.
That's right.
I got that one.
The patients, I think, were white. So now in this case, what we have now just emerged was shared by Donald Bardwell at Los Gatos Emergency Department. And the Donald says that the way he frames this is how they treat black people in the Los Gatos emergency room. So already we have this very provocative statement, and he says, shaking my head, everyone share this video for the record. This is my son. So he videotaped, presumably secretly, the emergency department interaction with this guy. Now, here's the thing. We're going to watch this video, and we're going to comment as we go, and we're going to talk about the nuance in this case. We're also going to talk about the response to the video, which I think is very telling.
Yeah.
If you're talking about racism, you also have to talk about other bias and prejudice, and you're going to see it all emerge. So this is a great case to talk about.
And this video already has 17,000 shares and 500,000 views on Facebook, so it's like spreading like wildfire, and it needs some correction.
Yeah, we need to talk about this. Okay, so let's play some of this video. So from Donald Bardwell.
When he has these, and he's throwing up, and he's going in and out of consciousness, I literally saw him go in and out of consciousness.
He's completely awake and alert right now.
If he leaves this hospital, he's going to have another anxiety attack just like that one, because he's in the same shape that he was in when he came in.
Sure, and he doesn't have clonopin because he doesn't have his clonopin.
And that took 4 hours to get through, so that's what I'm supposed to do.
I'm sorry, sir, you were the least sick of all the people who are here who are dying.
Okay.
There, so you picked your head up. Now, don't try to tell me you can't move. Come on, sit up.
I can pick my head up.
Yeah, sit up.
What
the fuck? Sit up.
Dude,
sit up. I'm having you sit up.
I can't get up.
Because he needs to sit up, and he won't let me.
He's literally yanking my arm.
I'm literally helping you up.
Wow. Okay. Wow.
It's getting tense.
Wow. All right. So
what's your immediate reaction?
Immediate reaction is, oh my God, she tried to pull forcibly this patient up. And my first thought is, that's a big no-no. It's unprofessional. It's not at all. The optics of that is not good at all.
Can I tell you something? My wife, who's an RN, tells me that she does that to drug seekers.
Really?
Because they'll tell you they can't move. They'll just lay in the bed all day.
Yeah.
And when you yank their arm, they catch themselves.
Yeah. Well, this
and
is.
And then you're like, you can clearly move.
But there's a way to do it.
I'm not saying that my wife does is right.
No.
She told me this happened.
So this is the thing. The way you do this, neurologists will do this. You'll lift the arm if they say they can't lift it, and you'll put it over their face and let it drop. And
and
they will stop it. So this is not that. This is my impression so far is this is someone who is really, really upset and triggered and angry. and doesn't believe this patient and is has stepped one click too far. All right. So now remember the guy saying, you know, she's saying he doesn't have Klonopin, so on and so forth. So we have very little information. We have no idea what happened before this. We have no idea what escalated it to this level because she started out trying to hold it together and then clearly starts to lose it. Now let's keep going because there's more to this.
You're helping me? I can't get up. I can lift my arms
to this extent. You want us to wheel you to your house in the gurney?
That's not what I said.
You just lifted your head just fine.
Yes, I lifted my head and my arms up to here. I cannot
put your hands on here and pull yourself up.
I cannot do that.
Yes, you can.
I cannot do it in the ambulance. I cannot do it now.
You can do it now.
I just tried to inhale, and I even told her I cannot inhale.
You can't inhale. Wow. He must be dead. Are you dead, sir? I don't understand. You are breathing just
fine. This is not right because I'm telling you, when you see him,
he is breathing.
He has labored breathing.
He's not labored in the least. He's got an oxygen saturation that is 100%. He is breathing perfectly normally.
So you're just saying that you just let him lay down in here and he's going to go back to normal. This pain that he has doesn't have anything to do with what's going on with him, right?
This pain that he has is because he worked out.
When he went to the emergency room the last time, he had pain.
Uh-huh, and what did they do for him?
They gave him fluids and they gave him something, a pill. I don't know what they gave him. Yeah.
For what?
For his pain and for the anxiety.
So you need narcotics? Is that what you need?
Oh, here we go.
Now let it play one more real quick.
So you need narcotics? Did I say any narcotics? I just need pain reliever and anxiety medication.
Pause. I mean, so he goes, she goes, do you need narcotics? He goes, do I say I need narcotics? I just need anxiety medication and pain reliever.
Okay.
Which are narcotics.
All right. Well, all right. Okay. There's a lot to unpack here. So it's very telling what she said at first, which is, you know, you are the least sick person in here. There are people dying in this emergency department, and you're the least sick person. Let me unpack this a bit, okay, from the standpoint of the emergency department team. We created a disastrous situation in medicine when we started willy-nilly giving out narcotics based on what we were told and taught by the pain societies, by JACO, by CMS. Pain's the fifth vital sign. So now we create a problem where people are hooked on benzodiazepines and they're hooked on narcotics, and people with legitimate chronic pain are now suffering more. Now, since we created this problem, the emergency department doctors and nurses and staff have to become adept pattern recognizers to try to tease out what's a pattern of someone who's addicted and is seeking more medication, and what's a pattern of someone who has real pain, is actually suffering, is going through withdrawal, and needs help. Now, you put them in a situation where they're seeing tons of patients a day, and they have to do this pattern recognition on a regular basis. Then there's really sick patients who actually need to be there, and they've got to sit and spend time figuring out whether Donald Bardwell's son is legitimately suffering or whether he's another manipulator. Now, what's that gonna do to you? You are going to, first of all, you're gonna prejudge a pattern because humans are pattern recognizers.
Right.
Now, the accusation—
And she's treating him as a pattern.
She's treating him not as a person, as a pattern. This is pattern of drug-seeking guy who's well. Why? He has no objective signs of pain or illness. His saturation is fine, but yet he says he can't breathe. He says he can't move, yet he lifts his head up. So what does she do? Get up. I'll show you there's nothing wrong with
him. Right.
What does she tell the father? He's fine. Everything you're saying doesn't make sense. She's treating both of them like a pattern. Now, here's the question, Tom. Is this racism?
No.
And I'll tell you why.
Where was the racism?
Well, now here's the thing. I'm going to defend Donald Bardwell, the father, because he's calm, he's posting it. If you grow up African-American in this country, you are going to see so many examples of both explicit and implicit bias that, of course, in your pattern recognizer, you're going to see her behavior as she's treating us as a black family trying to get drugs. Now, I'll tell you from our standpoint what I see. It's more commonly white people, white middle-aged people that tend to be presenting in this situation. And so I've seen I've seen people treat white people, Asian people, black people, doesn't matter, exactly the same way
in
the
emergency department. You gotta say this for him. If he is, if, you know, from the pattern recognition filter, if he's a drug seeker, he's a very mild drug seeker. It doesn't seem like he's being making this big show of it.
Well, anything. So they're
kind of calm.
Well, they often don't. But this is the thing: we don't know what happened before. This is the problem with secret recordings that then get released on the internet.
That's true.
We have no idea what happened. He could have yelled and screamed at staff. He could have been asking for the only pill that helps me starts with a D, and then she comes in already triggered by this pattern. Right. Now, here's the thing: she's using a pattern to judge him. The family's using a pattern to judge her. She's a racist white person. Look at the comments. So this thing went viral, right, when he posted it. If you look at the comments in that thread, people are defending the family and attacking her, threatening physical violence. And then they judge her instantly based on visual pattern. What do they say? She's a nurse. They talk about her being overweight. They talk about her tattoo. And they assume she's a nurse. Now, tell me that isn't a pattern recognition prejudice as well.
Right.
Then you wonder why female physicians who worked really hard to become physicians and people just assume, okay, you're this or you're this or you're this based on your gender, they get really pissed off. So there's so much wrong happening in this, and yet it's every day. Every day. Like you said, your wife sees it all the time. I see it all the time.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. Is this a defensible thing that she's done?
Well, Hala says either way, the lady could handle the situation better. So a lot of people in the comments are saying the opinion is very divided on
this. Yeah, yeah.
Like some people are like, I would have done the same similar thing, or they can understand where she's coming from.
Yeah.
Or they're saying, you know what, you could have handled it better. But like we always talk about, we know doctors are overworked. We don't know what, you know, hour this is in her shift.
Right.
How much other shit is on her plate, what she's dealing with.
Right.
So I'm inclined to kind of understand where she's coming from, but at the same time, this is a gray situation.
This is a perfect example of the real world. It's all nuanced. Everybody here thinks they're doing the right thing. The father actually probably very much believes his son has a legitimate medical concern, and his only way of expressing power is to post this video online and say, look what's happening. And he frames it in a way that is going to get a lot of views.
Right.
She is at her wit's end, probably at the end of a shift, with sick people having to deal with being manipulated every single day by these patterns that she now no longer can just sees as patterns. And listen, I'm not defending her, but I'm kind of defending the idea that we created this mess, now we're all in this together, and we have to figure out how to unwind it together. Accusing her of racism is just wrong. Accusing her of unprofessional behavior, probably fair because she's been pushed, doesn't mean it's justified, but we could all see how we might get to that point if we're constantly being pushed. And what I would say about this is, who's suffering in this mess? The patients, this patient, but also the real chronic disease patients, the real sick patients who are now a victim of conflated pattern recognition. And this is our mess together. Patients expect a miracle cure for everything. Doctors were told to go ahead and prescribe narcotics and benzos willy-nilly. Now, you can question, you can armchair quarterback the care, but how can you do that when you don't have the full story? Is he withdrawing from Klonopin? Is it benzo withdrawal? Was he really having seizures and loss of consciousness, or was it pseudo seizures? Is he manipulating? Is he really sick? Is there something else we're missing? Does he have hypokalemic periodic paralysis? We have no idea.
That's what everybody's saying in the comments too. This isn't gray. You need to be professional no matter what. How do we know this guy wasn't a frequent flyer? Is there a right to record law? I can't say anything because I don't know the entire story. There's like so many questions that come up just from this one simple Facebook video, but think about how easy it is to pull out your phone and just be like, look what's happening right now.
Yep. And here's what I say. What we see on this video is unprofessional. She also later on in the video goes on to curse and say, you know, drops the F-bomb, and the whole family goes, ooh.
Yeah.
Because they're, look, whether, we have no idea what's going on.
And she says, she goes, after she drops the F-bomb, she goes, yeah, that's right, I'm pissed or whatever.
Yeah, she goes, this is how angry you've made me. She actually says that.
Mm-hmm.
So you get a sense into her mindset. Now, this is the thing. We are supposed to transcend that in medicine. We are also human beings. I'm not defending her, but I'm saying, look at her through that prism of someone who has to deal with this every single day, day in and day out, okay? And she snapped. Now, if this is a recurrent pattern of behavior, then this is a problem. Yeah. Then we have a personality issue, we have a training issue, et cetera. This is my take. Look, we should all behave in the hospital as if we are being filmed all the time. because we could be. Whether or not this is legal filming or not, I've done shows on this, whether patients should be able to film us, whether we should wear body cams ourselves. Yeah. And there's a lot of nuance. I'd recommend you go back and see those shows. But the bottom line is this. She was filmed. She should have behaved like she was being filmed. Now, are these people in the comments justified in threatening her with violence, in just assuming that she's a nurse, in attacking her appearance, in calling her a bitch? So you see this all the time. What if this was a male doctor? You know, this word bitch is interesting too.
Yeah.
Like, just because she's a female and she's being assertive and, you know, aggressive. So there's so much here, right? And again,
yeah, it's interesting because when the male doctors get filmed secretly like this, like Peter Gallagher, or like the guy who was falling asleep, I forget his name.
Yeah.
It's really just the comments are all, I wouldn't want him to be my doctor.
Right.
But they don't call them, you know, an asshole, really. Even when Peter Gallagher was like pretty aggressive with the people in his clinic.
It's so different. I'm looking at, they posted this on Tribe Talk and other nurses are like, that nurse is a bitch. And it's like, okay.
I immediately said,
everything you just, everything you just said is wrong.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, because again, we're used to a certain hierarchical stereotype and we all have implicit bias.
It also seems like the way a nurse might approach a patient, because my wife, who's an RN, told me she, like, literally would something similar.
So is the behavior more consistent? So nurses, weigh in. Is this something you've ever seen other nurses do? I haven't seen doctors behave this way, but then again, there's unprofessional behavior, you know, throughout the spectrum. This is from my hood in the Bay Area, and you know, I know that it would, in a daily shift in the emergency department when I used to work, it was exhausting. You know, it was just soul sucking how much you're lied to, manipulated. And by the end, you could see how people could snap. Even the best people could snap. I feel really bad for this family because, at least in this clip, they were behaving very meekly, and the father clearly feels like he's doing the best thing for the son. So everything about this is wrong.
What I got from this is I don't think that the guy has good control over his own health, or knows that maybe he might be going through benzodiazepine withdrawal, or maybe he's not, like, I don't know if he's being a good steward of his own healthcare.
I mean, again,
I don't know.
Again,
that's my feeling.
It wouldn't misfit a pattern that we see with patients. However, we can't make any diagnosis based on a, you know, 2-minute clip.
No, you can't say
that. And that's the thing. You can get an impression, but you can't. And that's the problem with these. If we had a full body cam footage of this, right, then you could know what actually happened.
You have to go through like 30, 40 minutes of footage.
And the problem is only one angle.
It still wouldn't tell you what the MD is dealing with behind the scenes, and like who may need this bed.
If she
doesn't think he's emergent and he doesn't need to be there, she may need this bed. Right. And that's why she's being so forceful trying to get him up and out.
Right. And the clip ends with her saying, all right, telling the nurse, presumably, give him a liter of fluid and some Tylenol and get him out of here.
Isn't the path least resistance just to give him the Klonopin?
So look, we can armchair quarterback
I won't do it.
Yeah, no, but you're right to ask.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get into that because what I would have done is irrelevant. It's more, is this unprofessional behavior? Is it racism? What's the nuance of this that we can learn from ZPEC? Other thoughts?
You know, Hannah says, I've definitely seen nurses who are burnt out and act similarly. Anyone can suffer from burnout and snap at any time, regardless if they're male, female, nurse, MD, PA, etc.
Right, right. Well, I want this doctor and this patient and their family to know that I think there's a lot of nuance here and that I personally feel bad that this interaction went down. I think it's a symptom of our system, how broken it is, and I think, again, everybody thinks they're doing the right thing here. Nobody is acting out of evil intent.
By the way, we just posted the full video in the comments if you guys want to watch it. So
there you go.
In its entirety.
Yeah.
There's about a minute left we didn't show, but it's kind of...
Yeah, it's you can watch the rest of it. Honestly, I think we've said enough. I'm not going to say the name of this doctor. That's also... Many people have posted it in the comments. I don't think it's relevant or appropriate because I think she's going to have to deal with whatever the hospital is going to throw at her now. And... honestly, they're going to have to look at all the nuance in the whole thing. And honestly, if she ever wants to be on our show to talk about this, from a legal standpoint, if it's okay with her family, we would love to have her. If Mr. Bardwell wants to be on the show, as long as we can get both sides, we'll have him on the show.
How would you feel if one of your worst moments that you felt as a doctor was reported?
Because,
you know, you've said things like before that you've had bad moments as a doctor too.
As a resident, I had a moment a lot like this. I mean, it wasn't the the physical stuff, but the verbal stuff where I just lost my shit.
Yeah.
And I'd been, you know, I felt that I'd been pushed. And
how would you feel if they had cell phone cameras back then?
Would have ended my career because they caught me at the lowest point of my existence, more or less. And so beaten down. And so what happened? Transcended it, learned from it, felt really bad about it, apologized to the patient. No harm, no foul in the long run. However, I learned a lot about my own limits and professionality.
Yeah.
And so I would hate for this person's career to be judged on this 2 minutes of footage. And that's why we need to talk about
And
this.
Instead of courting the outrage mob, you would hope that both sides of this interaction in the video would have some reflection.
Yeah.
Some quiet reflection on what caused this.
What's going on? Yeah. And I hope Mr. Bardwell's son gets help because, you know, it looks like there's something going on that needs a longer term care. And again, I can't quarterback it, but I just hope he gets the help that he needs. What else, Tom? Are we done?
I think we're done.
Guys, this is the call to action. Please share this video. Leave your comments and stories. They're very helpful because by sharing this in this space professionally, right, we can actually change the discourse, elevate the conversation, and actually change actions. So I think if one...
Well, share it with your framing as a medical professional, like what you think, you know, what
do you think
your
going
opinion
on.
On
right, what do you think
is
going on?
Yeah.
And the other thing I'm going to say, the things that I'm just going to go on record and saying is I don't think this is racism.
No.
I think there's a lot of nuance here. I think both sides... you know, we need to look at the details of this more, and you can't know until you see, and we've kind of given our piece. The last thing I was going to say is if you leave your comments, please be professional, and let's not descend into stupidity, because it easily does that on Facebook. From the comments I've seen on other posts of this, they're just wretched, all right? Yes, you can say things like, oh man, she's saying everything we think.
Right.
That's fine, but it doesn't mean that you can make the moral judgment that it's right to do that, okay? So... And please don't attack the patient because in the end, guys, if we're healthcare professionals, that's the person we're there to help. We can talk about behavior. You can attack behavior, but please don't attack the person. All right.
It isn't health services. It's healthcare.
Biatch.
Care.
Biatch. Saying biatch is very inappropriate and
it's also very outdated. Very outdated.
How dare you? I'm still fly.
Listen, you go, girl.
Hey, you know what? This was a pretty tight podcast. All right, guys.
We're out.
We're out.